On this edition of Our Town, I have the pleasure of speaking with Jay Bozovich. He's a Western Wayne County Commissioner, and he's running for re-election. Of course, the primaries are coming up on the 15th. You should have your ballots already, so hopefully you haven't filled them out yet until we get to hear from Jay. And Jay, good morning to you.
Good morning, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Let's talk about, first, the past 8 years. You've been in two terms now, right?
Yes.
So talk about those terms and kind of what you've got accomplished over that time with the help of the other commissioners.
Well, it's been a wild ride in some ways. When I took office, Lane County had a 10% unemployment rate, and we were staring at a 20% real dollar cut in our budget that first year. We went from $600 million to $480 million in a single year.
Wow.
So it was crisis management at first in trying to gain control of that fiscal crisis we were in. But we did some really great work. And some cooperative work with our unions to change our health insurance plans to save $2 million a year just in administrative cost. And we're able to save the best services and prioritize how we put our budget together and got past that. And then we started doing some really hard work financially on getting some of our structural imbalance fixed in the county and getting our expenses in line with our actual revenue. And did all sorts of things to save money, like refinancing debt and paying off debt, to the point where we actually got the highest bond rating Lane County has ever had. After being, you know, on the Secretary of State's list of counties to watch financially for potential bankruptcy, now we have the highest bond rating we've ever had. I think that's a pretty major success story over my term as commissioners, just that financial management. At the same time, we were able to do things like pass a public safety levy. It's the first time, there had been 13 failures of levy attempts in Lane County prior to that. And we were able to pass that because we made it very specific, very targeted. And we also put in assurances to have it audited every year by a third party. So everybody would know we were spending the money just the way we said we were going to. And then we were able to renew that levy with a 72% yes vote. So 72% yes vote for a tax measure is almost unheard of. So,
right.
So there's
an accountability issue, too, that the voters say, well, you know, we've seen this go through. We've seen it work. So we're less likely to say no to it the second time.
Yeah. And every audit we've had has been a clean audit. You know, we've kept open the number of jail beds and youth services beds that we said we were going to. And we've spent the money exactly the way we said we were going to. And we haven't cut back on the general fund support of those programs and played a shell game and moved money around. So it's been a success story in Lane County, as well as, you know, we're now down to 4.3% unemployment. I've been directly involved in either, you know, providing grants or helping lure companies here that's actually added 1,200 jobs to West Lane County alone.
And it's been some good success over the recent years. What do you say to people who, you know, obviously there's those that want new blood in there? They want to see new things happening. What do you say to those that look at your record and say, it's not quite what we want from you? I mean, do you get offended by that, or do you like just say, hey, look, this is the fact of what we've been able to accomplish?
Yeah. A lot of times, sometimes folks don't have good information.
So all the information.
All the information. So I like to provide accurate information to people. And a lot of times, you know, particularly like with our rural patrol, it's just part of what we had to do is at the loss of those federal timber dollars that was that 20% decrease. You know, when I took office, rural patrol was less than 24 hours. We actually have been able to restore 24-hour patrol, but it's at a very minimal amount, and no one's really happy about that. And one of the things I want to work on in my next term is a permanent solution to funding rural patrol. There's something called the Deschutes County model, where they used enhanced law enforcement districts there to fund their sheriff's department. And we're looking at that. It took them 8 years to put those in place, though. So it's not a quick, easy fix, but we're starting the process this year with doing some amendments to the Eugene Springfield Metro Plan that would help allow for that to happen. So that's, you know, as you talk to people, if they're not quite happy with my record or have some concerns, sometimes it's because they heard a snippet on the news and it wasn't necessarily an accurate portrayal, or a lot of times it's just the reality of we're trying to do the best we can with the limited resources we have. And, you know, we can talk about where the trade-offs are and where they might want to make some priority changes. And we have made some changes over the years. We've been adding a lot of mental health support to our jail and to other places because we were hearing from the community that was a real issue. And that's something we've been, you know, moving some of our resources around, particularly to address some of those issues.
And really, we can't look in the newspaper nationally or statewide and see, you know, an issue or an incident that happened with some mental health issues behind it, whether it's a shooting or whether it's something tragic like that. So there's definitely, you know, something that people ought to be in favor of, you would think.
Yeah. And we did add actually 3 mental health providers from our behavioral health department into the jail specifically to kind of connect with people that end up in the jail situation, mostly because they're dealing with a mental health issue and trying to get those people connected to proper treatment.
Right. One of the things that that recently has been changing, especially here for the Florence area, and that is the Healthy Directions Coalition. You guys have put that together to where now services are being provided here in Western Lane County, where people used to have to go to Eugene.
Yeah. And there's, you know, we've been expanding our federally qualified health clinics, you know, mostly been over in the Valley, and it provides a lot of primary care for a bunch of folks there. But it takes a little pressure off of some of the rest of the system as far as freeing up primary care folks, you know, that would normally be taking that Oregon Health Plan folks. So, and we're looking at opening a new clinic sometime in the near future and expanding that system as we get the resources and the ability to do so. Love to open one down here on this side of the tunnel and have that availability. But then we'll be in competition with Peace Harbor for the same primary care folks that are difficult. The whole country is dealing with a real shortage of health care providers.
What do we do in a case where we lose federal dollars, say the timber dollars and that? What are some of the ways that you know, you were able to bring in new funds to help to get the best bond rating that we've had? I mean, what are some of the tools that you were able to use for that?
Well, one of the tools we've used is grant funding. And we've been very aggressive about going after grants where we can take a little bit of our general fund as the local match to a grant and then leverage a state program or a federal program to actually provide a service. And one of the places we've been very successful with that is in the Justice Reinvestment Program through the state and being able to utilize that to provide a lot of what I would consider restorative justice programs, where we're actually diverting people away from prison and getting them good treatment, you know, through our drug court, through our veterans court, our mental health court, and really providing a more holistic you know, restorative justice program. At the same time, 10% of that money goes to victim services. So it's not just about, you know, helping the person that committed the crime. It's also helping the victims. And that's part of the whole restorative justice model. And that's been a real success. We've also been able to leverage grants from Trillium, our coordinated care organization, where we ran a frequent user system engagement pilot this last year, which was about where we identified the 100 most heavy users of emergency services in Lane County, emergency rooms, jail bookends, ambulance transports, you know, contacts with police. We found those people and tried to, and put them into a low barrier housing. We get them into safe housing because most of them were chronically homeless folks. And we were figured out that those folks were costing us over $35,000 a year in emergency services. Wow. It only cost us about $14,000 a year to put them into that low barrier housing with intensive case management. That's the real key is once you get them in the housing, you connect them with services and deal with why they're on the street in the first place. You know, if it's a veteran with PTSD, you deal with those mental health issues. Quite often they also have addiction issues that you have to deal with and a bunch of physical health issues. And trying to just stabilize those folks, move them into the next level of housing, help them get back on their feet, that's really an important thing. And we were able to do that with a grant and get that program started and showed so much success that Trillium is putting in another $200,000 to double that program this year. So that's, you know, leveraging grants has been a real important way of how we've been able to maintain some of our services and even expand some.
When you go around the county and you're talking to folks, what are some of the most often asked questions regarding, you know, Lane County?
Oh, there are quite a few. Probably patrol comes up quite a bit, you know, as you're outside of cities.
And of course, we added Colt Parker recently as for the sheriff's department.
Yeah,
out here.
As a resident deputy out here, we've been able to. One of the things I've been really insistent with the sheriff about is trying to hang on to the resident deputy program. It's not near what it should be. If we can restore some funding to the sheriff's department, it's one of the things I would like to really concentrate on. And that's you know, a really great function, because if that's what community policing is all about, having those guys concentrate on an area, get to know the residents, you know, and you know, specifically be targeted in that area, is a really important piece of policing.
In a community of this size, you know, 8,800 people, not all full time, obviously, what would be a good ratio to have for a resident deputy program? Would it be one per 1,000? Would it be one per 5,000?
At one point, there were 3 resident deputies on this side of the tunnel. And that would be a great ratio to have, because they're only on 40 hours a week. And when you think about when they have to go out and do training, attend court, and everything else, that 40 hours really isn't 40 hours.
Just need the money to do it.
Yeah, just need the money to do it.
So 8 years, you doing it again. What are your reasons for wanting to do another term?
Well, getting to the permanent fix for our sheriff's department funding is a great driver of mine. Continuing the work I've been involved in with the Justice Reinvestment Program, I actually also serve on the Criminal Justice Commission's Grant Review Committee as a governor's appointment to represent all counties in Oregon. So I'm really happy to continue that work. But another thing I'm really working hard on is the housing issue and trying to get more front doors in Lane County and doing everything I can to increase that housing supply, and particularly to diversify it and find these housing units that are not single family and not high rise apartments, that somewhere in the middle, that we just don't have a lot of variety of our housing that provides a lot of that affordable workforce housing, which is critical for here on the coast, because with a tourist economy that we have now, it's hard for the service industry folks that support that tourism economy to afford housing here on the coast, because they're competing with the vacation rental housing.
Right. And that's the hard thing about it. And I don't see, I mean, of course you probably are in neck deep in it, so you probably have a little bit more knowledge about it, but I just don't see, because of the driving force of, you know, democracy and the way we, you know, we say want to make more money all the time. I don't know how we get folks to have things that are more affordable unless we kind of help them out in some way. And that seems kind of counterproductive.
Yeah. Well, one of the first steps that's going to happen is we helped lobby for and get some legislation through that allowed for accessory dwelling units inside urban growth boundaries. And the city of Florence is enacting that inside city limits. We're going to be enacting some rules for between the city limits and the Florence urban growth boundary. Those accessory dwelling units can become some of those low-cost rentals. They can also help people age in place, too. Mm-hmm. That can be where, you know, a son or a daughter lives that takes care of a set of aging parents, or it could be the one-level handicapped accessible unit that you
move your parents
the senior moves into, and the kids move into the actual house that still has steps and non-accessible bathrooms, et cetera.
Right.
So having the ability to add these accessory dwelling units can really add, and it can also become rental units, you know, where people are renting to somebody that maybe works in the service industry. And if it's a, you know, fairly small, you know, converted garage, converted, you know, work shed, they can add to that number of front doors. And that's really part of what that's about. I'm looking to try and expand that out to rural residential properties outside the UGB, and I'll be working on legislation in the next, if I'm reelected, in the next legislative session to try and get that expansion, because we could see those accessory dwelling units expanding housing supply in the Mapleton area, you know, and Glen Ada and north of Florence, and have just more housing in the area available, which will keep the price of rentals down.
Right. So give me your best pitch for May 15th. Let me hear Jay Bozovich's reason for moving forward?
Well, I think as folks think about Lane County government specifically, we've been really successful and really have controlled our finances and been able to, have a real improvement in how Lane County's run. I think nobody can look at us and say we're a poorly run government. You know, we've been able to balance our budget structurally without using reserves, without making any cuts this last time, and we actually reduced the public safety tax rate. So, not many places can say they balanced their budget and cut taxes. Mm-hmm. I want to keep building on that success, that financial success, and I want to, attack some of these really hard problems of housing, homelessness, and our public safety funding over the next 4 years. So I hope folks will look at that. I've also been very accessible to folks. I provide all sorts of ways to contact me, from Facebook to my telephone town halls I've been doing over the phone. And I provide my cell phone number to anyone that wants it, and they can contact me directly. So I hope that folks get out and vote for May 15th, and I hope I've earned their vote and their support for another term, and they like what they see in Lane County and want us to keep moving forward with our good management.
All right, Jay Bozovich, Western Lane County Commissioner, thank you so much for being here.
All right, thank you, George.
And coming up next on Our Town, we'll talk with Mary Sho about a brand new farmer's market that's coming to Bay Street right after this on the May edition of Our Town on KCFM.